Morning. It's great to be with you today. My sinuses are wreaking havoc with me again today, and so if you'll bear with me, I appreciate it. I'll try to make it through here. Somebody suggested that I should then speak less this morning. I'm not sure I can do that. We have been talking about and trying to focus on becoming more and more of a church of excellence. And we've been looking at a couple of different topics and ideas and things that we should really be focusing on to help us to be more of a church of excellence. And this morning, I want us to go to a place where I really think is really a foundational place. When we talk about building and strengthening the church, we really need to be talking about our homes. Okay? So this morning I want to talk about striving for excellence in our homes. Somebody once said, and I don't know who it was, but I think that it's a good statement. Somebody once said, as the family goes, so goes the church. You see, the reality is that the church really gets its strength from the families that make up that church. And so strong families, then, it makes sense, make strong churches. And weak families make weak churches. And so, you know, we really need to be focusing on the strength, or I'll say the excellence of our families that make up our church. Now, typically, when we talk about families, we usually think of, and what comes to mind immediately, is mom, dad, and the kids, right? Well, we don't have typical anymore. Okay? So this morning, I want us to take a look at, you know, when we're talking about, you know, building stronger families and having excellence in our homes, we need to really seriously look at, well, what does that really mean for us as a church family? So we're going to talk some about that. I want to suggest also that what we really need to be focusing on is, and let me change that statement I made a moment ago, from as the family goes, so goes the church. I want to change it to as the home goes, so goes the church. And the reason for that is because when we talk about the home, it's a little bit different in our concept of family. Then we're allowed to include the singles and the widows and the grandparents and those who have never been married and those who are single again, those who are single parents. Because as I mentioned to you a moment ago, we don't have typical anymore. Not even in the church. See? So family means something different today than it did 15, 20 years ago, even in the church. So if we want to be a church of excellence, and we want to have families of excellence, then we sometimes have to go back and kind of take a look at what do we mean when we're talking about families. Because God is including all of those in His definition of families, I believe. So let's talk about striving for excellence in our homes. The text that was read for us as we began in Colossians chapter 3 is really kind of a shortened version of the text that is in Ephesians chapter 5. And so I want to ask you to turn over to Ephesians 5. I had them read the Colossians passage because it is shorter, rather than having them read this whole, in our scripture reading time, the whole passage of Ephesians chapter 5. Now, this particular part, we're talking about mom, dad, and the kids. This is on your outline. You look at, you know, letter A on your outline. Mom, dad, and the kids. When we're talking about homes here, let's talk about that aspect for just a moment. And when Paul is writing here, and really that's what he's addressing, is the, you know, how is it that moms and dads and kids, in their homes are supposed to be behaving towards one another. Okay? But now, typically, when we focus on this particular passage, generally we start at verse 22. And I've mentioned this before, you know, where the husbands like this particular part of the passage, the wives not so much, okay? Because this is the part where it says, wives, submit to your husbands. But what I want you to focus on to begin with is, go back up one more verse, okay? Because this section doesn't really start in verse 22, okay? It really starts more in verse 21, which says, submit yourselves one to another, okay? So when we have a proper attitude towards family, we need to understand that God's approach to that is that we all, to a certain degree, in certain manners, in certain ways, in certain areas, we need to learn to be submissive to one another. And then we go to the passages where it begins to talk about the relationship between the husbands and the wives and the parents and the children. And so as he writes in this section, wives, he talks about how the wives are to be submissive to their husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. However, each one of you must also love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Now, one thing I want to pause right here and point out to you, notice that what Paul is really talking about here is the church, isn't it? And that's what he's saying here. I'm talking about Christ and the church. But yet, he's talking about the relationship of husbands and wives. So again, I think that simply reinforces for us the whole concept that says, as the home goes or the family goes, so goes the church. The two are tied together. Let's continue reading on, chapter 6, verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So, you know, when we read this particular passage, the question really for us at this particular point is, what does God want us to see in terms of what he sees as a family looking like? And not the members, so to speak, in terms of, you know, how many of them there are and so forth, but how they are behaving one towards the other. So what God wants our families to look like is a family where the husband and the father leads his family. See? And it's a family where the wife and the children follow the lead of the husband and the father. And it's a family where the children respect and obey their parents. But it's also where the parents do what is best for the children. See? So, you know, when God paints a picture for us here, through the Apostle Paul of what he wants a family to look like, that's what he's talking about. You see, this whole idea of, you know, wives submitting to your husbands and everything, and, you know, guys, you need to understand, his intention here is not that you're the king of your castle and whatever you say, you get, and she better ask, you know, when you say jump, she says how high? Yes, master. No. If that's your idea of submitting, then forget it. I'll be the first one to tell you, you are wrong. Because that's not what God intended it to be like. And I think the reason that he has such a long narrative here about the husband's role is because he wants us to understand that leading comes first through love. Not through demanding that we get our way because we're in charge. Now, ladies, I ask you, if you have a husband who loves you like Christ loved the church and gave himself up for, how much of a difficulty would you have in submitting to a husband like that? You see? That's God's intention and God's picture, you see. So guys, you need to pay attention to that part of it. You see, as you have the responsibility to be leading your family, but how you lead is the important thing, and that is to be done in love the way that Christ loved the church, you see. And wives are to be submissive to their husband, and children are to obey their parents. And parents are to teach their children and do it in such a way that they don't frustrate them, but rather that they bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You see, God wants families to stay together. He wants them to grow and to build on what He has blessed them with. Matthew chapter 19, Jesus is asked a question by the teachers of the law, the Pharisees are trying to trick Him. And they ask Him the question, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any reason? And the reason they're asking that question, not just to trick Him, but, you know, there's kind of a dilemma. There's a controversy in some groups of Jewish leaders believe that it was okay for a man to divorce his wife for any reason whatsoever. She just burned the toast too many times. Then he says, woman, I divorce you, then it's over. And he can put her away for that. And then there are the other section of the Jewish leadership that believe that, no, it had to be for very specific reasons, and there's very limited. Okay. And so they come together and they ask Jesus this question, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any reason? And Jesus makes it very clear in his answer, there's only one reason that God accepts for divorce, and that's if one or the other partners is guilty of fornication. Okay. If they involve themselves in sexual relationship with someone else other than their mate. That's the only reason that he gives for it. And so that tells us that God's intention is for marriages to be a lifetime commitment. That's what God wants. That's the ideal that God has put together in His picture for a family. But problems are going to come in relationships, aren't they? When they do, we got to work them out. See? We have to realize that there's no such thing as a perfect mate. There's no such thing as perfect parents. Kids, you need to pay attention to that. And parents, there's no such thing as perfect kids. None of those exist whatsoever. So when we're looking at our families, we need to understand that God's intention and His picture is for us to build and to grow our families and to be strong. And that's one of the reasons, by the way, that the elders have been, you know, showing this movie Fireproof to all of our couples, because we want to do what we can to build and strengthen our families. Now, point number B on your outline is living on your own. We've just finished talking about God's ideal. Okay? That's the picture that God has of what He designed and what He intended for a family. That's the ideal, but the ideal and human reality are oftentimes very different, aren't they? You see, the problem that we have more than anything is that Satan really works hard at trying to destroy our families. And you know why he does that? Because Satan knows that same saying that I mentioned to you as we began. Satan knows that strong families make strong churches, and he wants to destroy the church. And how does he best do that? By destroying the families of the church. And so that's what he's constantly trying to do. And the reality is that all of us, as I mentioned, none of us is perfect. We are all flawed and we're sinful human beings. And as a result, we don't always do what God wants us to do. We don't always do things the way God wants them to be done. And because of that, sometimes families do fall apart. Sometimes families do go through the difficulties, and husbands and wives give up, and whatever other problems that come in. And we know that very well because we have families here that are in that category. The reason I'm saying that is because if we want to be a church of excellence, and one of the things that we've got to focus on is to not treat those families that for whatever the reasons have become upon those difficulties, we've got to not treat them as second-class citizens in God's kingdom. See? We have to recognize them as part of God's family, with all of the flaws that they may have, as long with all of the flaws that each and every one of us have. Okay? And the question then becomes one of where do you go from here? If you're part of one of those families, you know, that struggled and for whatever the reasons have, you know, are not, don't fit that picture that we read about in Ephesians that's an intact family, where do you go from here? Is that saying, well, okay, you know, hey, we can just fall apart if we want to. It doesn't really matter. No, that's not the point. The point is that we should always be striving to be what God wants us to be. And whether we are an intact family or whether we're a family that, for whatever the reasons, has come apart, we need to, wherever we are, we need to be striving to be what God wants us to be. In our life, to live for Christ Jesus. So that means, you know, if you're single again, or whatever that situation might be, then you've got to live your life for Christ Jesus. And that means that, no, it's not okay for you to involve yourself in sexual relations with somebody else, married or not, because that's fornication and God says that's wrong, you see. So it's not okay just because you're single to do whatever you want to do, you see. It's not okay for you to shack up with someone, in other words, because you're no longer married to someone. Because Christ tells us, no, that's not acceptable. So my point here is that we have to realize, wherever we are as a family, we need to be living our life for Christ Jesus. Okay? The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3 wrote this, "Among you, there must not be even a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or of greed, because these are improper for God's holy people." So again, you see, whatever condition you find yourself in, we need to be living as God's holy people. And there are certain things that God says, no, that's not acceptable for my people. And so for those families that are you know, struggling, and families that, for whatever the reasons, again, have come apart. How are you living your life? What are you doing in your service to the Lord? For instance, sometimes there's questions that we really seriously need to ask. It's like, how are you treating your former spouse, especially when it comes to relationships over your children, if you have any? See? What are you doing there? Are you behaving the way Christ would have you to behave? You see, the reason I'm saying these things is because, you know, in 30 years of ministry and about 20 of those years in marriage counseling, I know that sometimes families fall apart. Again, the reality is different from, you know, the desire and dream that God has for us. And sometimes families fall apart through no fault of one person or the other. That sometimes, you know, one person says, hey, I don't want to be here anymore, and they're gone. Well, then where does that leave the other partner who doesn't want to be out of the relationship, but they find themselves? What do you do? We have to keep on living our life for Christ. And at the same time, so many times I've found some of those relationships where there's so much bitterness that parents are using children as weapons against one another in that relationship, and they're hurting one another, and what they don't realize is they're hurting the children more than anything else. And so again, the reason I'm talking about this is because, you know, as a church family, we have to come to grips with and realize that we don't have the ideal, because people are flawed. But we do have the responsibility, no matter what our situation, to be living the way Christ wants us to live. See? And then that carries over to our church family. See? Our family, the church. How does all of that then kind of reflect or impact what we do as a church family? Well, I think one of the first things that I want us to keep in mind is that we've got to be careful. If we want to be a church of excellence, then we've got to make sure we don't marginalize our families in any way, shape, or form that don't fit the ideal. Whether we're talking about single-parent families, or whether we're talking about blended families, whether we're talking about, you know, those who are widows or widowers, all of these are part of our family. And they're a valuable part of our family. And we need to make sure that they get that message. You see? We want, if that's part of who you are, we want you to have that message. You see? That you are part of our church family, no matter what your family picture looks like at this point. I think one of the most interesting passages in all of the Bible to me that I think is kind of like a shocker passage is kind of the way I look at it. You know, when people talk about religion, they talk about faith and talk about living for God and so forth, and a lot of times people get this idea that, oh, you know, I'm a good faithful Christian, and I don't do this and I don't do that, and I don't do all these bad things. And we can very easily tend to think real highly of ourselves as people of God, can't we? And think that we've got this religion thing down pretty good. When James writes a very interesting passage to, I think, kind of shock us back into reality here. Verse 27 of chapter 1, he says this: religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Yeah. Religion that God sees as being faultless is oftentimes not what we think of. Say, and what God sees, most importantly, is that we learn to take care of one another, especially those who are the most vulnerable. And that's why he talks about the orphans and the widows. They're part of our family too. And so we as a church family need to be looking after and taking care of them, is that as is befitting of God's people. You see, what we've got to do then, if we want to be more and more of a church of excellence, is we've got to do our best to build and strengthen all of our families. Not just the ones that look like the picture in Ephesians chapter 5. See? Where we've got mom, dad, and the kids, and everybody's, you know, happy and everything's going wonderful and so forth. No. The reality is we've got all kinds of different families. And before I finish this morning, let me make something very, very, very clear to you. Someone might take from this, and I don't know who's going to listen to this. It's recorded, and it'll be sent all around, and invariably somebody's going to pick it up and listen to it and go, "Oh, that Russ, he's soft on marriage." You know, no. No, I'm not. I still believe that God's intention is that divorce is not an option. That's what God's desire is. But as I said before, what God's ideal is and what He wants and what we do as flawed human beings oftentimes is not the same. And sometimes we mess up our lives in such ways that our families are going to be in trouble. That is not an excuse for us to come to a point and go, "Hey, it's okay for..." No, it's not. But it does happen, and when it does, we need to behave appropriately according to God's will in our lives and in our families, and whatever is going on. That's what I'm trying to get across to you. And the reason for that is because the strength of the church, and I suggest to you the excellence of the church, depends on how excellent we are in our homes more than it does anything else. Okay? So, think about whatever your family is. Okay? What's going on? What picture is of your family at this point? And what does your family, more importantly, what does your family right now need to become more and more of a family of excellence so that you can help this church to become more of a church of excellence? That's what we really want to focus on. See? Whatever your need is, we want to be able to help you with that. But we can't help you if we don't know what the need is. This morning, the invitation is offered to anyone. Maybe you need some help with your family situation, whatever it is. You know, we have that here. Maybe you've got some discouragement, or maybe there's some sin that's going on that needs to get out of there, because that's hurting your family. We want to be able to help you to overcome that. There may be somebody here this morning who's not yet a Christian. You haven't given your life to Christ yet. Well, we're here to help you with that too. If you're ready to become a Christian, if you believe that Jesus is the Son of God and you're ready to make Him Lord of your life, then you can do that right now, this morning. All you have to do is repent of the sin that's been separating you from God. Call upon Jesus as your Lord and have those sins washed away in the waters of baptism. You can do that right now. I'll be up here in the front to receive you. Dale, will you go in the back since Ted is up here leading our singing? And Dale will be in the back if you'd like to have a private prayer or conversation with him back there. We're here to serve you in any way that we can. Let's stand together and sing.